afternoon, everybody. Good evening to anybody who's further away than the United States. It's Windows on the World here from the UK. And what a beautiful weather we're having in the south of the country today. Yes, the summer has returned after several weeks of very changeable and not very nice weather. So we are in the middle of what is going to be another mini heat wave. So on today's show, we're going to be talking about viruses and the mind virus. But one thing I do know for certain, and I can say it with some confidence, is that most things which are stated as certain often are not. Most beliefs are not fully questioned, and this is something that I've been finding out for the last 15 years, probably along with many of the listeners to RBN, which is why they're here. But this is a very useful tool. It means that the public are the recipients of an education system which only tells them what they believe they should know. When a belief is questioned, it's surprising how little evidence people have for their beliefs. A blind faith is injected through the education system, and mental laziness stops questions being asked. And I've found this in my research over the years. When I start to really question things, you find out that not an awful lot is actually known at the core of a belief. But the role people assume in society brings them their belief system. The information within this management system is controlled and strictly limited, compartmentalized. Really, how much do you need to know? Well, we're going to give you as much as you need to know to do your job, which is why Jobsworths think they know a lot and obviously know very little. But anything which actually questions the validity of a belief these days is called a conspiracy theory, or those people who question things are demonized by the gatekeepers. This is what is called the common good, the public interest, and society. The belief in academia as authority is part of the management system in humans. Academics and experts are often so limited in their outlook they can repeat anything, and often do. And academics are the most easily brainwashed people on the planet, and they have an opinion on everything. Often, they don't back up their opinions with facts. And that's also a very interesting observation I've been making over the past few years within academia. First, they try and demonize you and tell you you know nothing, and then they batten down the hatches and run away. Even a small amount of research can often take apart the belief system of an academic. This is because most people, including academics, are given blinkers and do not question anything that they cannot see. This also goes for scientists and so-called experts who do not get questioned by competent people, especially in public through the media. The deliberately dumbed down media is taught to not ask relevant questions, is not in the scope of this medium to do so. And if you turn on the BBC or Fox News, you will find this to be the case. Little bit of an exception with the rise of populism is Fox News Australia. They sometimes do get to very good points. Not quite on topic, but better than most. Some of those presenters are actually getting down to what things are actually about. And of course, this is part of the controlling of the narrative in one respect, because you have to encapsulate everything, including populism. That has to become part of the big media coverage and the media machine. I was reading today all about the birth of communism, Karl Marx, Engels, etc. And it really does tell you a lot about where we are. But it also tells you a lot about the flawed thinking of the people who are imposing systems. But history is replete with examples of beliefs which, when examined, have absolutely no standing. The current post-truth world has removed critical thinking, which the new system has taught its employees to ridicule and dismiss. I've been on the recipient of quite a bit of that over the years. I probably think Elvis lives on the moon. I probably support Trump, and I definitely voted Brexit. These are the assumptions that get made in the UK if you question the official narrative of anything. But the accepted corridor of opinion is very small, and it's getting smaller. Look at the new harms paper, the online harms paper, and the new laws in Scotland, where nobody knows what hate speech actually is anymore, so it could be anything. But this is the new system, control all narratives. The real-time exercise we're in, though, is a fine example of belief over fact. We're in a global restructuring process. basically bringing in a technocratic slavery, a new system run by corporations and billionaire financial elite, who are in reality a bunch of liars and chancers. But this does not mean the manipulation techniques are not above the heads of its victims, as the victims have been well trained. So let's cut to the chase. Today we're going to be talking to James Mukaminski, who's been a guest on this show before and probably will be a guest again. He's fascinating research into the biomedical paradigm and his book, The Ultimate Conspiracy. I'm just going to quote from the book before we introduce James. Modern medicine, with its many hypotheses, or rather unproven assumptions, is neither a science nor a natural science. It does not have one hypothesis-free theory concerning the biological events taking place in the individual patient. Modern medicine is therefore not scientific and is incapable of understanding the mechanism of any cancer or disease. Very powerful statement, that, and a statement which James goes on to validate and back up throughout his fascinating book. On our previous show, we talked about how COVID-19 has not been properly measured or identified. We're going to go into that today because the belief in virus theory is dependent on the belief in a theory to a certain extent. And we're going to go into that and clarify that too. COVID-19 would have to be isolated, measured, and purified to be designated as a virus in the system of virus theory. And this basically, to all intents and purposes, has not yet happened. So our guest today is James. And along with writing this fascinating book, James has also had several very relevant questions put to University College Dublin and the National Virus Research Lab. Most people would believe that these questions would be answered clearly and straightforwardly. This, however, is not the case. So, James, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Mark. Thank you very much. Basically, a number of years ago, Stefan Lanka was the guy who came up with all of this stuff. He identified what he believed at the time was a harmless virus, a giant virus that at the time he believed infected as marine brown sea algae, the Ectocarpus silicosus virus, as it was called. And he purified it, measured its diameter, and biochemically characterized it. And then he discovered after he'd done all of that, one of the professors said to him, why don't you look at the HIV virus? Because that was kind of predominant at the time. And he looked at that, and he discovered that nobody had ever purified it. And then ditto with any mumps, measles, rubella, and all the rest. So to cut to the chase, nobody has ever purified any virus. And then Stefan Lanka had his organization called Clankline Action, Small Actions, and he asked ordinary people to write to the authorities and ask them for proof that, say, the measles virus was purified or COVID-19 or whatever. And I took up the challenge. I read the stuff in German. I took up the challenge in Ireland and also in the UK. And I contacted the National Virus Reference Laboratory in Dublin, Ireland, and asked them five kind of relatively simple questions. And we can certainly go through them if you wish.
I think we should, James. Let's lay it out simply so people get it, because there's a slight nuancing going here, which we have to explain to start with. And I think it's very important to actually get that delineation of what they're actually saying and what they're not saying.
Okay, so I asked them for the proof that the SARS-CoV-2 virus that we're all aware of, the COVID-19 virus, that it was purified. And so I had five queries. The first query was to give the possible rate, and I've also linked it in with the measles virus, just because the measles virus allegedly has been existing for a long, long time, and the SARS-CoV-2 is a new virus. So I asked them, what is the estimated diameter of the measles virus and the SARS-CoV-2 virus? That's a pretty straightforward question. And then the response to that question they're saying that they're unable to say what the diameter of the viruses are straight off, because they don't purify them, so they can't measure their diameter. That was query number one. Question number two was that Stefan Lanka said that the density gradient centrifugation technique is used to purify or isolate bacteriophages. Bacteriophages are so-called because they were originally believed to be eaters of bacteria, but it turns out they bacteria can go into bacteriophages and then go back into bacteria, but they've got a diameter of 100, 200 nanometers, and they can be detected by the density gradient centrifugation technique. If any of these alleged pathogenic viruses did exist, they could be purified, isolated or purified by the same density gradient centrifugation technique. And again, and the answer to that query was that they just say that's an old method and we use new methods now. And the new method they use now is this RT-PCR method, which they use to allegedly detect the 2019 novel coronavirus.
Now, this was put forward by Carrie Mullis, wasn't it? This is his theory.
No. Carrie Mullis invented PCR, polymerase chain reactions.
Yeah.
And it's like a multiplication method for DNA. But Carrie Mullis questioned the existence of the HIV virus, or that HIV caused AIDS. He definitely questioned that when he accepted the Nobel Prize. And I believe he would not be happy that his PCR technique has been used to allegedly detect any so-called pathogenic virus. So that's how they're detecting it. And I can go into exactly how this detection method works. And then, you know, basically, they're just saying that no record exists, that they don't. You've read their responses, Mark. They're saying that they have not purified any of they don't purify any alleged pathogenic virus. So they detect them by indirect methods. This is the key point. They detect them by indirect methods, but they do not purify any alleged pathogenic virus. And then they said to me, "Well, contact the vaccine manufacturers." Nobody has ever purified any alleged pathogenic virus. That is the bottom line.
Well, because that's really interesting, because they tried to obfuscate that really and say we don't actually have that information. Well, in fact, they should have that information. I think that's a key point here.
Absolutely. And according to Dr. Stefan Anken, look, I'm not a biologist. I just have to read this stuff, and I read it because you're wondering what is going on. But I mean, what he's saying is that any biology student in first or second year of a biology course should be able to use a density gradient centrifugation technique to purify, isolate bacteriophages, which do exist. Bacteria does exist, it can be purified. But the same technique could be used to isolate, stroke, purify any COVID-19, mumps, measles, rubella, if they did exist. But of course, they've got caught up in this new technique, RT-PCR, and we can get into exactly what that technique is detecting in all of these kind of so-called
viruses. Well, I think that's key,
viruses.
James. I think we really should go into that. And I think we've got time in this section to do that. So I think we should do in this section. Yes. Can you clarify that? Yeah.
Okay. So basically, how they detect the coronavirus, detection of 2019 novel coronavirus, 2019 novel corona by real-time RT-PCR. Now, basically, the lead guy in that is a guy called Professor Christian Drosten from Charité in Berlin. And interestingly, Dr. Stefan Lanke is, I believe, suing Professor Christian Drosten for basically just wrong science. But when you read the background to the paper, what they do is they detect RNA sequences that they believe they're obsessed with the DNA, or the in this case, the COVID-19 is an RNA. They believe it's got an RNA, ribonucleic acid, at the center, and it's surrounded by a protein shell. And they detect what they believe are strands, or isolated kind of strands, or small segments of the RNA virus. And then they put these together and make up what they believe is the genome of the virus. But the problem is they've never purified it in the first place to know what the genome would be. They're working on this on the assumption that all of these pathogenic viruses have the same kind of characteristics as bacteriophages, and which do exist, have been purified. There's thousands of them, probably millions of them, and they're assuming the same thing for these viruses. And they're looking at the DNA, they're obsessed with the DNA or the RNA of these viruses, and trying to come up with a genome. But the fundamental problem is, how can you detect a strand of RNA and say that is a COVID-19 virus when you've never purified the virus in the first place to discover, to determine what its RNA is in its entirety, what its genome is in its entirety? It's as simple as that. They've never done that. And I'm just hoping that there's some scientists listening here, microbiologists or even virologists, or, you know, that in the US, that can, if they're listening, or if they, people who are listening to the show, can talk to them and find out, check this out, right? And point is, all of this stuff, as you well know, Mark, this is not a religion. We're just looking for the truth here. It's as simple as that.
That's absolutely great, James. A very good introduction there. I'll let you actually carry on there and explain all that, because it's very key to the whole thing. And if anybody out there can help and can give us some information, do call in, or anyone who wants to call in, do call in anyway. 800-313-9443. I'm with James McComiskey, and we're talking about COVID-19. Has it been purified or not? And it appears that the answer is probably no. So is there anything you wanted to add to that first section, James?
Sure. The background to this paper, by Professor Christian Drosten, this is recommended by WHO. It's definitely applicable in all of Europe, I presume in the United States. And the background, the first sentence of the paper tells you all you need to know. The ongoing outbreak of the recently emerged novel coronavirus poses a challenge for public health authorities as virus isolates are unavailable. So stating quite clearly in the first sentence, virus isolates do not exist. And the aim of the paper is, we aim to develop and deploy robust diagnostic methodology for use in public health laboratory settings without having virus material available. So they're saying quite clearly they've never purified the virus. All they're doing is detecting RNA strands that they believe form part of the genome of this COVID-19 virus. But according to Dr. Stefan Lanke, these RNA strands are produced by normal cells. When cells are dying off or whatever, they produce this RNA strand, and it's just a normal cellular part of cellular debris or whatever. There's nothing abnormal. There's no virus involved in it at all whatsoever.
That's fascinating, because that's what I understood even before I read your book. That was quite well explained by several other people. It was on the internet, so it could be a conspiracy theory, you know, but they were actually scientists. So, yeah, I did look into all that. And yes, I think you've explained that extremely clearly. And I think that's the main thing there. There was a little bit of nuancing we had to get in, and it's left me absolutely clear. I hope the listener is as clear as I am about what we've been talking about. So,
yeah.
That's great, James. Yeah, carry on.
Good. And I mean, the whole point is, like this is just dealing with, like, we could go into, like, the belief system in pathogenic viruses. It's all part of the germ theory of disease. So the germ theory is the fundamental kind of dogma that modern medicine and biology believes in. And in a nutshell, the germ theory of disease is wrong, and pathogenic viruses do not exist. And we can go into maybe later, another segment if you wish, why the germ theory of disease is wrong. But certainly, basically modern medicine and biology has just lost touch with biological reality. That's the key point.
Yes. No, that's great. We're going to have to come up to a break in a minute. But germ and new medicine and all of the stuff that we're talking about today, people should take a look at it. It will change your outlook and your paradigm. See you after the break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispicos, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Welcome back to Windows on the World. Today I'm talking to James McComiskey. We're going to be speaking to Charles in Florida in a minute, but first I wanted to tell you about Carrie Mullis and how the press kind of demonized him. And this is so typical. This was, I think it was the New York Times, one of these sort of papers. It says, Carrie B. Mullis was an LSD-dropping, climate-change-denying, astrology-believing, board-surfing, Nobel Prize-winning chemist. Now, this is so typical of how the press work. In other words, when I'm referred to by organizations in the UK such as Hope Not Hate, I'm a YouTube conspiracy theorist, and I push dangerous conspiracy theories, which basically involves having people on my show that the intelligence services don't like. But this is quite interesting and very revealing. They carry on to say he was deemed an untamed genius by fellow researchers. Mullis shared a 1993 Nobel Prize for developing a technique called polymerase chain reaction, or PCR. These are the tests that have been doing for COVID. This is how COVID is kind of categorized. That allowed scientists to create millions of copies of a single strand of DNA. It was hailed as one of the most important scientific inventions of the 20th century. So here we have someone being demonized who's hailed as inventing one of the most important things in the 20th century. And he's an LSD dropping, climate change denying, astrology believing, board surfing Nobel Prize winner. Well, why don't they start off with Nobel Prize winner, you see? It was like when we went to do some talks. What happened to us in Wales? They said that Niels Axel Mourner, the leading expert in sea levels, because he wanted to contradict the UN narrative, they said that he was a Swede who believed he had paranormal powers. Well, actually, he actually said that he used dowsing to find water on his own land. So this is the kind of way the press works, James, and it's endlessly frustrating. But tell us a bit about Carrie Mullis.
Yeah, to be honest, you said more. All I know is he invented this technique called PCR. I understand it's a manufacturing technique for multiplying DNA. And then the real-time RT, reverse transcriptase, PCR, the reverse transcriptase is they have to reverse the RNA into DNA before they multiply it. All of this gets very technical. I'm not a biologist. I don't pretend to be, but I read this stuff and I'm trying to figure out what they're doing. But basically what they're doing is they're converting the RNA into DNA, they multiply it, and that's how they detect it. But the fundamental issue with all of this is they're detecting RNA strands, but they've never purified the coronavirus in the first place. So how do they know that the RNA virus belongs to the coronavirus SARS-CoV-2? It's as simple as that.
Absolutely. We can't keep reiterating that point enough because it's the key point. Charles in Florida, are you still there?
How you doing there? Hope I don't mess things up, but I think someone would point out that these people that claim the COVID virus is real are not following Koch's postulates. You know,
correct.
Proof of
correct.
Something is there. Maybe you've already talked about that. And
that's interesting, Charles, because if you get James' book, The Ultimate Conspiracy, that is dealt with. And I found the first 140 pages of the book absolutely essential to understand any of this, because all the references there, you can go into the German New Medicine, you can go into exactly the points that are being brought up on this show, and they are key points. Yes, absolutely, Charles, yeah.
Carrie Mullis, I wanted to get this point over. Carrie Mullis, according to articles on the internet, was in the trial about HIV years ago. The God, I can't think of the one in Los Angeles. The black, he stated as saying, Gary Mullis is saying his test wasn't a test. It was supposed to be, because his thing was not intended to be a test. It's highly unreliable. Quote.
That's right. He did say that.
The O.J. Simpson trial is what I was trying to think. He was a witness
yes.
in it.
Sorry, I don't think you there at all.
And
yeah, his suggestion was that HIV did not cause AIDS. Now, if you look into AIDS and what that's about, he had a very strong point there. AIDS was not a virus. It was a condition, which was brought about
Duisberg
by
and
shattered immune system.
Duisberg and Carrie Mullis both regarded the HIV and AIDS as being highly... Being total scams. I have seen videos of them talking about it. Duisberg, was another one. And Mikovits, the woman, PhD, Mikovits, she said she claimed to have isolated HIV, but she talks about how Fauci and Gallo and the pharma industry had her framed up for 5 years with no charges, just held in jail. I don't know if you've seen that video.
Yeah, Judy Mikovits. Yeah, I've seen her video.
Judy Mikovits, yeah. Okay,
that's great. Thanks a lot, Charles. I think we've got another break coming up. And after the break, we might talk to Dave in New York. See you in a couple of minutes then.
Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Broadcasting Network, late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Are you concerned about the quality of your drinking water? If yes, we want to introduce you to the new ProPure stainless steel water purification system. ProPure systems available in two sizes are economical, convenient, easy to use, and provide reliable water purification just about anywhere. ProPure systems come with the latest water filter technology. The ProBlack D-domed water filter elements are the result of years of research, design, and development, and are good up to 3,000 gallons each before replacement. Easy to clean, trouble-free. The ProBlack D water filter elements may be the best yet. Concerned about fluoride in your water? ProPure offers add-on fluoride filters. ProPure water purification systems. Easy to assemble and are backed with free technical support and a 2-year warranty.
Our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Oh, welcome back to Windows on the World. Today I'm talking to James McComiskey. Just before the break, we had Charles in Florida. We were talking about several things there, including HIV, AIDS, Carrie Mullis. And it was mentioned that Koch postulates and germ theory were a big part of this. So we're going to go into that in the next section. Now, I think possibly, James, before we go into Koch postulates, it would be good to explain where germ theory came from, because I think this is something that many people may be ignorant of. Louis Pasteur, etc.
Okay, yeah. I mean, long story short, the idea of the germ theory of disease has existed for thousands of years, and it was blamed on bad air from foreign countries. It was always foreign countries that caused the problem. Bad air came in, or whatever. It was the kind of miasma theory, bad air theory. And then when Louis Pasteur, and Antoine Bechamp were around at the same time, and the Louis Pasteur investigated the idea of, you know, pasteurization, how that occurred, or fermentation, how fermentation occurred, and he believed that if he discovered how fermentation occurred, he would discover the cause of diseases. So fermentation did occur. Without going into technical details and boring your listeners, but fermentation did occur with germs in the air, but also fermentation germs in the air did cause it, and that was a revelation. And then from that, he came up with this idea that there was a unique germ that caused every single disease, and the logic of that is that, you know, whatever bacteria, like tubercular bacteria, cause tuberculosis, measles virus causes measles, et cetera, et cetera. But a compatriot of his at the time was a guy called Antoine Bechamp. And Bechamp completely disagreed with Pasteur. He said the environment is everything, the milieu is everything, the germ is nothing. And that was a key point. But from the work of Louis Pasteur, Robert Koch, and another a guy called Rudolf Virchow, this whole idea of the germ theory of disease, it became into scientific medicine, that all of these so-called infectious diseases, they're all caused by germs, by bacteria, or by viruses. Charles mentioned Koch's postulates. So Koch's postulates made perfect sense if these germs cause disease. So number one, Koch's postulate number one is you could view the bacteria or the alleged virus in the blood sample or whatever. The number two is you can purify it. Now, in relation to bacteria, you can purify bacteria. So Koch's postulate two works for bacteria and cultivate them. But it doesn't work for any alleged pathogenic virus. It's impossible. Nobody has ever purified any alleged pathogenic virus because they do not exist. And in relation to bacterial diseases, people believe in that, for example, the tubercular bacilli causes tuberculosis. Yes, tubercular bacilli are present in the reparation phase if you're suffering from tuberculosis, but that doesn't mean they caused tuberculosis.
Hugely important point here, James, and one I want to go into in future shows, because this is a key point you make in your book and a very important one. It's one of the key things that I got from your book. So, yeah, carry on. I just think that's a really important point there.
So, and funny enough, all of these experiments have been done a long time. I think Max von Pettenkofer, another German guy in the 1890s, he drank a bowl full of cholera bacilli and tubercular bacilli, drank a bowl full, and his assistant did as well. They didn't get sick. They didn't get tuberculosis. They didn't get cholera. And then other Biochemical Society of Toronto did these experiments. And you could have a room of 100 people in a room and have all this tubercular bacilli, cholera bacilli, whatever they're called, released. And if they understand everything that we're talking about, they're not going to get cholera. They're not going to get tuberculosis. So therefore, modern medicine does recognize this fact. So in relation to Koch's bacteria, it fails on number three. In other words, you can't inject the pathogen bacteria, can't inject tubercular bacteria, I can't drink a whole load of them and get tuberculosis. I will not get tuberculosis. And those experiments have been done already. In relation to viruses, you cannot purify them, you cannot isolate them. And just another key point, this was mentioned to me by a guy called David Crow from the Infectious Myth in Canada. Unfortunately, David Crow died there a couple of weeks ago. He was a great guy. But he mentioned the point that scientists use the word isolate, and they don't use it properly. For example, if somebody's got tuberculosis and a cough out sputum, they call the sputum an isolate. It isn't. You know, you have to purify the tubercular bacilli from the sputum to call it an isolate. But they've so abused the word isolate, that it's better just to use the word purify. And that's the word, he was the guy that told me, use the word purify in relation to any alleged pathogenic viruses, because they've abused the word isolate completely.
Yes, it's all in the terminology and nailing them down on what they actually mean and what they're actually trying to say and what information they actually have. I think we've got Dave in New York. Are you still there, Dave?
Yeah, I'm still here. Good afternoon.
Thanks for holding in there.
Yes. I had a couple questions. I think it's always good to question paradigms and look for anomalies, like Kuhn and Popper said in the structure of scientific revolutions. That's how a new theory is developed. For the solar system, they give all those examples. But in this case, I see that there's a lot of sequences done, full genomic sequences of viral strains of RNA, let's say. Not even going to say there are virus particles, but they're finding all of these very similar genetic sequences, apparently, in all these publications all throughout the world. Now, if they don't exist, are they fabricating the information?
Whether this is a
viral particle that's going around or just the RNA sequence, if the RNA sequence is appearing, and we're seeing problems that seems to indicate that it could be related to the problem of disease in this case.
Dave, good question. My understanding is, and I'm not a biologist, I've just read this stuff, so please bear with me, but my understanding is that the RNA sequences, and they're not, so basically they believe that the COVID-19 virus is is an RNA, ribonucleic acid, surrounded by a protein shell. And they're looking for the strands of RNA that they believe belong to it. But to cut a long story short, they've never purified the COVID-19 SARS-CoV-2 virus in the first place. So how do they know what the genome is if they've never purified it in the first place? And my understanding of what Stefan Lanka is saying is that the RNA sequences that they are detecting, they're just part of the normal metabolic process in the human body. In other words, right now, I don't have a temperature, I don't have a cough, I feel perfectly well. If I took this test, I might test positive, right? But I don't have it. It's just a normal byproduct of the human metabolism. So the overall point is, nobody is ever, to detect the genome of any pathogenic virus, you would have to purify it in the first place. And nobody has ever done that.
Oh, well, okay. That's an interesting idea, but they're coming up with these sequences that I don't know, are they piecing it together or what? But the second point I have to make is that, you know, and this, we learned this in college, if not before, that they did electron microscopy on viruses, and they showed all these little spaceship things. There's various images of these, which are consistent with the virus theory. And you don't need to purify the virus to get an electron micrograph. I mean, there's virus there and other things there as well. And, you know, you've got a method to detect it. You see it. And it implies that there's something there. And the composition of that is then what you need to determine. And like you say, it is important to have a pure compound if you want to analyze it. I agree. Being a chemist, I have to agree.
Are we talking here about the infection or the actual results of the infection? I think that was the delineation, wasn't it, we were making a few minutes ago, James?
Yeah. I mean, like, Dave, you're a chemist. You're better qualified at this than I am.
Is that an important point?
Yeah, it's an important point. But the picture that they observe when they say that they think that's a virus, right? The point is, that's fine. That's Cox plus, you'd say, number one, right? But the next step is you have to be able to purify it. And they've never been able to purify.
You don't have to.
What Stefan Lanka is saying, my understanding of what Stefan Lanka is saying is, yeah, they believe that it's a pathogenic virus, fair enough, in the blood sample or the serum sample, whatever it is, but they've never been able to purify it. That's it. And the RNA, they're coming up. What he's saying is they're stringing together all of these RNA sequences to make up the genome of what they believe is a COVID-19 virus. But how could they possibly know what the genome is if they've never purified the virus in the first? I mean, it really is that simple.
But also I would like to say, if they're postulating a protein-coded virus structure that could be detected by by scanning electron microscopy or something, where's the evidence? I haven't even looked for that. It didn't occur to me till I made this call. And so I think we should look to see if they've got that. I mean, that would be so simple to do. And if there's a virus, it's absurd that we haven't heard this yet.
But Dave, Mark can confirm this. I've got the evidence from the National Virus Reference Laboratory in Dublin, Ireland. And it's the clue is in the name. They detect these alleged pathogenic viruses. And they have stated in a Freedom of Information request on the record that they do not purify any alleged pathogenic viruses. They don't have the techniques to do it. They just assume that they exist.
Yeah.
That is a very key point. And
that's
a shocking admission.
Well, okay.
Thank you. Thanks. Nice talking.
You're welcome, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks a lot. Yeah, I just lost you for a minute there. I think we've got Murr in Wisconsin. Are you there, Murr?
Hi. Hey, listen, here's a couple simple facts I've been saying from the beginning. Testing positive is not active. Very simply. Viri are debris. We have a resident epidemiologist, Tom Rogers, that comes on. I think he's talked to you too. you know, for more than 40 years, and the last analogy I heard him say was, so if there's broken glass at an accident, did the broken glass cause the accident? So it was kind of interesting analogy.
Yes, that I've heard that analogy before, Mer, and it's a very good one. One that slipped my mind today because we had such a hot and sunny day here, I was out getting absolutely sunburned. So I,
good for
I
you.
Yes, I had slightly been a bit overdoing it in the sun, so I'm a bit slower than normal. But that is absolutely a brilliant point. Yes, thank
Viry
you.
Viry is debris. Just remember, Viry is debris, and these positive tests that are done by private companies for money are not active. A positive is not active. It just says something came through there at one point, perhaps. Don't let them jab you and give you a lobotomy either. We have to remember, in every sphere, as they close in for the kill, the lies intensify in every way.
Absolutely.
In visual, you know, in script, every way. You know, like with Floyd, that was a dummy. If you slow down that one video, he has no legs. Okay, they piece together different things to get the fear and the chaos going.
I haven't actually looked at that video in any depth, Mer, but I can confirm that that was a technique that has been used in the UK,
yep.
And it was used at the murder in, I think, Greenwich, at the barracks there, where the soldier, Lee Rigby, was going to be killed, or was killed, or may have been killed, or may not have existed. It doesn't really matter. The point is that they were using footage which was shot before the event, and the event was actually being framed as a real live event. It was started as a kind of exercise, and they were using footage from the exercise as though it was part of the real event, and that does happen. That
and Pompeo said,
yeah.
Pompeo said we're having a live exercise. And remember, after Floyd, just 2 days later, there was another in Paris, and then in one in Spain. The same thing. Black guy with a knee on him. This is fake.
Yes.
This is just to ratchet up the fear, and they're going to continue to do this because they're being exposed. This is what Pharisees do. They're closing in for the kill. They're afraid their money system is being taken away. And I'm afraid they're right.
Well, that's good to know.
I agree with you about the money system being taken away and all the rest. Absolutely, that is absolutely correct. But my focus on this whole thing is the existence of pathogenic viruses. And as normal doctors, nurses, healthcare people, all the rest, and then all the scientists that believe in this stuff, and they're ordinary people. And really what my purpose is to try and get these people to query the existence of these so-called alleged pathogenic viruses.
Well, the most educated are the ones that fall the hardest. But we also have a lot of doctors that just aren't being given airtime, or else they're being fired from their jobs. We have Dr. Andy Kaufman. We have Mikovits. We have all these different people that are, you know, blowing whistle loud. But people are so entrenched in this Talmudia worldwide, they need to pull away from it. But the longer this goes on, the harder it is to deny what's going on.
Well, yes, I think television training is a big part of that. And this is the point that I brought up at the beginning of the show. In other words, if you're glued to a plasma screen, then your sense of reality is absolutely manipulated, because what's coming through that screen is for a certain kind of mentality. It's not for people who can think. So therefore, the more of it you watch, the more time you will be kind of take, your time will be taken away and putting you into areas where you're not thinking. And that is no good, because if you take away your cognitive abilities like that and you willingly do it, then you become a victim. And that's what a lot of this is about. The public are victims, really, because they're accepting this and they're actually accentuating their victim status by validating it.
They're following really what the victors posing as victims do. Accentuating something that doesn't exist, projecting their own proclivities, the opposite. And this is brain filthifying, okay? Packs in there, and in your subconscious, where you react without even thinking at all from some of this delusional stuff you've been consuming. So to get out in nature and barefoot and really brainwash is what we all need to do. I'm sure blessed to be able to do it here, so I hope other people get to do that. Thank you.
That's
I'll get off.
That's a great point,
Claire.
That's what I've been doing today as well. We're nearly in the last part of the show. We'll be back after the break. Really interesting callers today, and I think the information that we're giving you is also extremely important. I'll see you for the last 5 minutes in a few minutes' time.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to Windows on the World for the last 5 minutes section of the show. The information we put out today has been rapid fire with a few kind of exceptions when we've had some calls and interactions. So I hope that it's been useful to you, everyone out there. We're back next Tuesday and, of course, Thursday on Windows on the World, same time on RBN. And do join us tomorrow night on our YouTube channel, Windows on the World. We have a fascinating interview with Jerry Marzinski, plus a special guest, about the presence of other worlds. I'll leave it at that. If you're interested in the presence of other worlds, do join us. And that will be tomorrow at 9:30 p.m., which I think is 3:30 p.m. Central tomorrow. Okay, Jim, it's flown over, and there was a few points I know that you wanted to address, so please do it now.
Well, just at a broad level, the germ theory of disease is wrong. Bacteria do not cause disease. Tubercular bacilli do not cause tuberculosis. They're present in the reparation phase. If somebody's suffering from tuberculosis, you can observe tubercular bacilli in their blood or whatever, but so that's correct. But it's like saying, do firemen cause a fire? Because every time you see a building on fire, you see firemen. You know, it's the same analogy. So bacteria do not cause disease. They're present when somebody is suffering a fever or whatever, absolutely, but they do not cause it. And then the second point is that pathogenic viruses, the germ theory of disease is wrong, and pathogenic viruses do not exist. Nobody has ever purified any alleged pathogenic virus. They do not exist. And really, that's it. And what Stefan, this is not a belief. This is not a religion. Please check this out yourself. I've gone on the record to the National Virus Reference Laboratory in Dublin, attached to University College Dublin in Ireland, and they have said that they do not purify any alleged pathogenic virus, such as measles and SARS-CoV-2. And the reason why they don't purify them is because they don't exist. They're operating under a belief in the biomedical paradigm, a belief in the germ theory of disease, which is the key dogma. The germ theory of disease is the key dogma of modern medicine and biology. It's as important as the resurrection is to Christians. And once the germ theory of disease is shown to be false, then probably 95%, according to Dr. Rieke Gerhard Hammer, who came up with the German New Medicine or the German Art of Healing or the five biological laws of the German New Medicine, 95% of modern medicine and biology is scientifically and medically wrong.
Yes, and I think we should go into the German New Medicine on the next show, whenever that will be, when we can get you back on, James, because that is fascinating and it's key, and that really will open up this subject even further. So, yeah, do join
us. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, but the key point is this whole thing.
Yes.
The German New Medicine will not be investigated until modern medicine is shown to be wrong. And in my opinion, the Achilles heel, the great weakness of modern medicine, is that these alleged pathogenic viruses do not exist. The measles virus does not exist. The mumps virus does not exist. COVID-19 does not exist. The HIV virus does not exist. These are all figments of these guys' imagination. Dr. Stefan Lanke calls the virologists, in a joking way, he calls them virologists. They're wizards. They're creating it. It's because they're operating on this belief system in the germ theory of disease. That's the key problem. And we just need
Thanks
to get a
lot,
few
James.
Of them to examine the facts.
Brilliant. I think we've got all that in. Do join
Good.
Us Tuesdays, Thursdays and Sundays at windowsontheworld.net. Support us if you can too. Thanks a lot. See you on Tuesday or tomorrow night or on Sunday.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.